on Ephesians chapter number 5. We'll turn there this evening. And if by reason you have questions, or you are in a scenario and you're not sure what to do, you may be in a position that I may not touch on, I would encourage you to get a hold of me or my wife. And I say that because even in a series, we could go 3 months, and I won't be able to touch on every situation that may be faced in a home. And if there's something that you personally are dealing with, or relationship, or children, please come see us. We want to be a help, and we want to give God glory. We live today in such an age where there's so much pressure and temptations that all the help that we can get is a benefit. I remember when we were raising our children, our pastor at Calvary Chapel, he was a family man. He preached a lot on the home, and that helped us out as we had just started our children. We had, I think, two, maybe three at the time. And I remember our Brent. He's not here, but he was our guinea pig. But we had set a standard in our church setting that once they come out of the nursery at 3 years old, they were in the service. Now, they could have went to junior church, but we had them on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights outside of Awana's. They were with us. And so we would sit in the front row, or about 3 rows behind, and I would sit them on the end so they could see. I didn't give them anything. I didn't give them a book. I didn't give them a Bible. Didn't give them a color. Didn't give them a car. They sat there. And if they didn't sit still, then we visited the restroom. See, we did that several times. And when they were able to sit still, we gave them a Bible to hold. Just to hold it. Don't fidget with it. Just hold it. And then when they were able to not fidget with it and hold it, we opened up to the first text and helped them then. And then from there on, we progressed. And we did that with each of the children. When they come out of the nursery, they sat by me on the end. As they graduated from me on the end, they went on the other side of Mom. Either way, you know, they were beside a parent. And so I'm saying these things because every situation we in the home or in the marriage, I'm not going to be able to touch on. And if you are have a question or dealing with something, a situation or scenario, and if we can be a help, let us know. I want to be a help to you. All right, Ephesians chapter number 20, Ephesians chapter 5, and read with me in verses number 22 and 20 through 24. All right, verses 22 through 24. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord." Now, if you're in the habit of highlighting or marking your Bible, I would encourage you to highlight or mark your Bible, "as unto the Lord." That is key to your submission. That is vital for your understanding in the submission that you have a role in the home to play. So, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the home, or excuse me, head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is a savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. As I mentioned this morning, it's our series on the home, and for me and my house, I hope it's been a help to you. And tonight's message on the wives is Christ-like submission. Christ-like submission. And so let's have a word of prayer and let's ask God to bless, shall we? Father, we come before you this evening. Lord, I pray that you give me understanding. Lord, you know my makeup. I'm not a lady. I'm not a wife. And, you know, from what I can gather in Scripture, I just want to be a help. And so, Father, may the Holy Spirit grant me understanding beyond my own wisdom. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would help us together tonight, Lord, to not only as we speak to the wives in submission, but each one of us as well. Lord, we thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. As I mentioned this morning, the book of Ephesians is dealing with home situations that was out of order. And the home and the marriage conditions, they need to be redirected and aligned again with the blueprint that God has set up for the home. And he has set that up from the very beginning. And so as I mentioned this morning, I want to be a help. Brother Rick's going to put behind me a diagram to help us fully understand the picture regarding the Trinity or the triune pattern that each home should emulate. That's behind me, correct? You see, it's a triangle. You know, the triangle is the strongest of all shapes. It's the strongest of all construction. And the Lord uses that to show the Trinity. And we must understand this Trinity in order to understand the home. God the Father is over all. Would you agree with that? He is over all. God the Son submitted to the Father. And then God the Spirit was in complete obedience to the Father's will. And so you have on that diagram, the top, God the Father, and then on each side of the bottom, God the Son, and then God the Spirit. I have beside each one of them as well the position or role that is to be played by each family member. Husband, you are to play the role or be the role of as God the Father in the love. We notice that in that diagram, that God is love. And so the husbands are to emulate the Father in the love. We talked about that this morning. I hope that was a challenge to you to love your wife, to love your family, to love your children. And then we go down to the wife, and that's where we're at tonight, where God the Son was submitted or gave submission to his Father, to the Father. And that is the role also of the wife. And then we're going to look at, Lord willing, next Sunday night, the children. And their role is the role of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit was obedient to the will of the Father. And so every role is a picture. The home itself is a picture of the Trinity. And I hope this may help you in your mind thinking, well, I've just got to submit or I just have to love. And but you have to understand what it pictures. First verse we shared with our children, they memorized, was Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And they didn't quite understand it, but eventually they learned it. Everybody has a role. And if we understand this picture, then we understand our position in the home, and it makes more sense. We apply this picture in our homes, and then our homes will really become that picture of the heavenly Trinity. And that's what God's design is for the home as he goes through this in Ephesians chapter 5. And so we spoke this morning concerning the love that husbands are to have as leaders of the home and are to become and to display God the Father in that love. And in that love, we mentioned that it's wrapped up in the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't mean that husbands are the only ones, only Christians, that are to practice the fruit of the Spirit. That's not the case. Everyone is. But I'm going to say that with this love, those are ingredients that are found in love, and without love, those ingredients cannot be practiced. And so now we come to the wives, and I'm just going to say this. I'm not a wife, never been one. Don't plan to be one. Never been a woman. I know God made me a man. And I'm not going to try to be a woman. My mom has a picture of us. Me and my two brothers. These were the days where it didn't matter. Like every woman had a wig. And we found my mom's wigs. My mom didn't need a wig, but she had wigs. Me and my brothers. We were home. Mom was gone. It was a shame. We all dressed up. I ought to find that picture. You die. I die when I look at it. I'm ashamed of it. We all dressed up, put on one of Mom's wigs, one of her dresses and a pair of her shoes. Now, that ain't the bad part. The bad part is we sat out in the driveway in complete public, and she took a picture of us. It just, I have twitches every now and then when I think about that. I try to relate, but I cannot relate as a woman will relate to as a woman. I wanted to share with you what Scripture teaches, and I hope it'll be a help to you, all right? And, you know, I don't know all the feelings. I don't know all the facets. I understand that a woman doesn't even understand herself sometimes. I understand that. And but I want this to be a help to you. And I know this is a very sensitive subject, being submissive and Christ-likeness. And I know can I just say many independent fundamental Baptist churches have taken this too far in times. And I mentioned this morning, you're fragile. You're not less valuable. But everybody has a role. And the role for the wife is to be submissive. Now, I want you to understand first that it is a role that's unnatural. This is an unnatural position for the wife. Now, I want you to go with me in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 16. Now, we'll come back to Ephesians, so you might want to keep your bookmark or there. But in Genesis chapter 3, if you know the account, we are in the garden. In Genesis chapter 3, the sin had already taken place. In verse number 16, God is dealing with them, giving them their reward of their sin. And he is speaking to the woman, speaking to Eve, in Genesis chapter 3, in verse number 16. And God said unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now there's three things in this verse I think it's vital to understand concerning the fall. When I talk about the fall, I'm talking about the sin in the garden, okay? The first two things that are mentioned in this verse deal with children. Number one, we notice that the consequence of this fall, the consequence of sin, the woman herself will be uncomfortable during pregnancy. That's what that means. He says here that I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and then in thy conception, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth. So while there's pregnancy, during pregnancy, there's going to be some uncomfortableness, there's going to be some sorrow. There's going to be just some pain involved every now and then. My wife's been pregnant 4 times. I know what that's like. I mean, I personally don't know what it's like, but I know what it's like for her. But I know it's not comfortable. I know it's a joy at times. You get to see the baby move and the baby kick and a little baby get hiccups every now and then. And just a joy. But I know there's many times when you wish the basketball wasn't there, too. And in thy conception, there's going to be sorrow. But then he goes on, he says, not during conception only, but then he says, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And we understand that the woman will conceive in birth in much pain. There's no way, I know medical facilities and the medicine today, you can have a child pretty well without much pain. Our daughter had her first child, and I don't know if she was eating ice cream cone or what she was doing while she had little Kayla, but it was pretty easy. But I'm going to tell you that. But up to that point, there's a lot of pain, and the pain didn't stop in the verse. Although the birth stopped, but the pain and the consequence didn't. He says that in conception and in childbearing, there's going to be much pain, but there's also bitterness knowing that her knowing Eve knowing that because of her fall, the pain and sorrow of her sin is now passed down to her children. And you might want to keep that in mind when we go into rearing our children and training our children, that it is the sin nature that we are dealing with. We're not dealing with the child directly, but we're dealing with the sin nature. And so because of this sin, now the human race, understand, is under the consequence of the fall. David said in Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." So from this point, every part of the human race is a fulfillment of the fall of Eve. Now, in this verse, the first two deal with children, but the second one now is directed to the husband. God says, "And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." God inserts something that, again, has nothing to do with children, but now toward the husband, "the desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." I want you to notice, go back with me just a few verses in verse number 6. It says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise." Now, I want you to notice who took it. They both knew about it. They both understood it was wrong, it was sin. I want you to know who took the lead. The Bible says, "And she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat." When God says, "The desire shall be to thy husband," he's not talking sexually. He's not talking a physical attraction. He's not talking about having closeness. He's talking about having rule or dominion over him. Your desire is to rule over your husband. Your desire is to take the lead. Your desire, because of your sinful nature, your fall, is now going to be one that you want to have the rule and role of leadership over him. However, he will rule over thee. That's what that says. Not talking about closeness. Not talking about sexual desire of any sort. He's talking about you want to have dominion over him. That's the fall, and that's the sin nature that now resides in every woman. That's why I say that submissiveness or being submissive under your own husband is not a natural position. Because the natural man, the sinful man, now wants to rule or have dominion over the husband. I know many gentlemen, you ever heard the phrase, "You're henpecked"? You ever heard that phrase? You're henpecked. Your wife, she runs the roost, doesn't she? I've heard many, many men that are afraid of their wife because she's got the rolling pin in her hand and he's just a wimp. Shame on you. But you have to understand, that's the natural thing for a woman. That's the role that God said, your desire is to have dominion over your husband, but his role is to rule over you. And you go all the way now to Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul said, I want you to do, what was happening, all right? He's talking to the Ephesians. Let's get the context. Let's get this in our mind, because these Ephesians that were saved were acting as if they weren't. He says, I want you to put off the old man, the old former conversation. You're no longer walking in darkness. You're to walk in light. You're to walk in love. You're to walk after the Spirit. And he says here, now you are not the same as you used to be. Ephesians 2 reminds us that we are, let's just turn there. I want you to read this, and it'll help you understand that your role, or what the fall had brought, is also broken to where you're able, as God wants you to fulfill the role that He has for us. Verse number 1 in Ephesians 2, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that worketh in children of disobedience," in other words, rebellion, "among whom we had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." But he says, but God, and he goes on, he talks about, you are saved, you're quickened, you're made alive, you're different. So the old nature, the old former conversation that came naturally, you were naturally a child of wrath. You were naturally disobedient. You were naturally rebellious. But you're not to be that way anymore. From salvation, you're to put on the new man. You're now to walk in the Spirit. God saved you from those things. Now you're to play the role that God has intended from the very beginning. Now, wives, the role that God has for us, or for you, which is not natural, but the role that God has for you is to submit unto your own husbands. In verse number 24, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything." In that everything means in everything. Now, there's not much explanation on that. But the old nature tells us to put on that new man. And that woman, the wife, is to put on that new man. Wives in submission to God. A wife that is in submission to God are to be in submission to their husband. If you're in submissiveness to God, you'll be submissive to your husband. If you're submissive to God, you'll be submissive to your husband. He says here verse number 21, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." He says in verse number 22, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord." Now, submissiveness is not slavery. I mentioned that earlier. Submissiveness is not, a butler service. No, it's not that at all. It's not, fellas, we sit up and we have our feet kicked back and our lazy boy, and honey, go get me this. Honey, go get me that. You got your little bell on the side, you ding-a-ling-a-ling, and she comes running around with her apron. What can I do for you? What can I do for you? That's not the way it is, all right? The wife is to be subordinate to her role. God is saying, I want you to be subordinate to your role that you are to play. And that diagram means to be subordinate as Christ was subordinate to me. As Christ was subordinate to the Father, you're to be subordinate to your husband. Again, this is a picture. It's so much easier. And I know there will be wives who say, well, you don't know my husband. It's hard. It's hard to be submissive to him. It's hard to be obedient to him. It's hard to live with this guy. I understand that. The problem is not necessarily you. The problem is your husband, because he's not fulfilling the role of God in the home. He's not fulfilling the role of love in the home. If the husband would fulfill the role of love, then the wife, it'd be a lot easier to submit. Would you agree with that? Amen. It'd be a lot easier to submit to a loving husband than to a brute. Amen. Y'all with me? I warned you. I really did. I forewarned you before we started. This is not going to be easy to hear. It's not going to be easy to say. And I have to look at myself many times. My wife writes notes down. She shows it to me every time we get home. Gives me a grocery list. No, it's not really a grocery list. Just chicken scratch. But other than that, it applies to all of us. And it's the Word of God. It's not my opinion, it's God's word. And so we are to submit. Again, it's not slavery. Submitting one to another. Each role is important. as we see in the diagram, and it signifies a part of that Trinity. If I fulfill my role, you fulfill your role, the children begin to fill their role, and I know that's a role that is a work in progress always. But we fulfill that role, and I've seen many families fulfill that role. Are their kids always good? No. But the parents are fulfilling their role, and the kids are growing in that role, and you see that, you see that. And it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of prayer, it takes a lot of consistency, it takes a lot of tears. But God says if you fulfill this role, you are signifying this diagram that I want everyone to look at and everyone to see. And so these roles are not to be abusive in power either. Husbands, don't abuse the power of being the head of the home. Your wife is your helpmeet, and I mentioned that this morning. She's there to help you. You're not there to browbeat her or point fingers and say do this and do that. She's your helpmeet. She's your mate, and if you do that, I'm gonna have one-on-one with you, okay? But your wives, you're to be submissive. Now, the duty of the wife is to be in submission. It's found in several verses. I want you to turn there with me. I won't keep you long, okay? I know the game's starting in about 21 minutes, all right? The roads are too bad to go out anyways, so you're here for the night. Anyways, all right, looking with me in 1 Peter 3:1. Brother Nelson touched on this on Wednesday night, and I just want to just hit it. I'm not going to expound on it, but I want you to look at it, maybe highlight it again if you haven't. Didn't do that the other night. But in 1 Peter chapter 3:1, he says, likewise, in other words, just as I had just mentioned, so likewise, ye wives, be in subjection. That word subjection is the same as submission to your own husbands, that if any not obey the word, in other words, if they're not saved, or if they're away from God, if they're rebellious, he says, wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word, in other words, God's word, be won by the conversations of the wives. In other words, your godly behavior, as Brother Nelson mentioned, your behavior as a wife, a submissive wife, a loving wife, a godly wife, fulfilling that role, will draw your husband close to God. There are wives that many have maybe gotten saved during their marriage. The husband didn't get saved yet. And there's now a difference in spirituality in the home. Now you understand your role, that if you fulfill your role, you will draw your husband closer to God, and God, and he will see Christ in you. That is the whole motive of being submissive. So if you do that, he says, the husband that's without the word will be drawn to me. Now look with me in Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Again, this is all, when we're submissive to the Lord, ladies, wives, it is being submissive to your husband, but it goes beyond that. It's being submissive to the Lord. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. It's right, it's necessary. It's what has to take place, and it's being done as in the Lord. In Titus chapter 2, you don't have to turn there, but Titus 2:5 says, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That word obedient is the same Greek word that's found in Ephesians 5:22, submit, the same word. So God says that your role as a wife, being submissive to your husband, plays a huge part of God being seen. How can God be seen in your home if we don't play the role that God has given us? Remember, God is three in one. And when you don't have one, then you don't have all. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. They all three are one. And if you and I aren't playing our role, if I don't play the role of a husband, wife, you don't play the role that you're supposed to play, then God will not be seen in the home. Love is to be displayed by the husband. Submission is to be displayed by the wife as unto the Lord, or as Christ was, obedient or submissive to the Father. I want you to look at, let me just read you a couple examples, okay? I don't want to keep you, not because of the game, all right? I'd keep you because of the game, just because I do it in spite. But other than that, Miss Shirley, she warned me if I was to go over. And so I don't want to make her mad. Dynamite comes in small packages, you know that. Right, Brother Brian? Now, I want you to understand, like, here, if you didn't listen to anything that I said, I want you to understand this. You are to be the emulation of Christ. As Christ was to his Father, you're to emulate Christ to the husband. In John 6:38, Jesus said, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." In other words, I am being submissive or obedient to my Father. In John 6:40, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son..." Now here's this picture that they need to see through you and being submissive to your husband. He says, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son," meaning me, or Christ meaning me, "and believeth on him, they may have everlasting life, and I will raise them up in the last day." Jesus said, "I come to do the will of my Father, and in that, if they see the will of the Father in me, if they see me displaying my Father, they will see my Father." So when they see you being submissive to your husband, they ultimately see you being submissive to God. Your responsibility is to picture Christ's submission to the Father, pointing others to the Father. Again, like 1 Peter 3:1, your primary motive or desire ought to be to, if your husband is unsaved or rebellious or without the Word, to point him to the Lord. Your sweetness and your submission to your husband will lead him, and your submission to your husband ultimately is being submissive to the Father. Too many ladies will say, I can't be submissive to him. I just can't. Well, what you're saying is, then I'm not going to be submissive to the Lord. Because if you're not going to be submissive to him, you're saying I'm not being submissive to God. Because God put you in that role. God put you in that role. I talk to the husbands. And husband, if you falter in love, it's going to be hard for your wife to submit. You know why it was so easy for Christ to submit to the Father? Because he loved his Son. And husbands, if you desire for your wife to submit as she should submit unto the Lord, if you desire for that, then you need to love her like God loved his Son. And she will submit as she is, as unto the Lord. And Christ was submissive. Hey, even in adverse conditions, Christ was submissive. You say, in my home, you don't know the condition, you don't know the situation. It doesn't always lend itself being submissive to that beast of mine. The life of Christ wasn't always roses. He could have gave up toward the end. What did he say? He said, "You know, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass. I'd rather not be submissive in his flesh." The God-man said, "I really don't want to be submissive to this plan that you have devised from the very foundation of the world. Because I know the pain, I know the sorrow, I know the rejection, and I know the sin that I've never felt before is going to be placed on me. So, Father, if there's any other way, if it be possible, I'd rather not Nevertheless, I will submit to your will. He came. He was beaten because he was being submissive to his father in adverse conditions. He was ridiculed. He was slapped. His beard was pulled out. He was beaten beyond recognition, but he was being submissive to his father. You see, adverse conditions don't mean always that you're not to be submissive. Now, I will never advocate, if you're in a situation where there's some physical harm and danger in front of you, I would advocate you move out of that place. But other than that, you were to submit. It's difficult. I understand. I've known some couples. I've known some homes where it's difficult. But I also know homes where it was difficult and God blessed. Husbands, if you're providing, again, the love God intended for you to provide, then the home will be a lot easier for your wife to submit. Christ stepped out of heaven in submission to do the Father's will. He submitted to his Father's plan. And Christ walked on this earth as a man to do his Father's will. He submitted to his Father's position. And Christ gave himself to that ridicule. He gave himself to the snares of men and much adversity, and yet he submitted to his Father. There are homes where ladies have to deal with a husband that just ridicules them. Belittles them. It's a shame. It's sad. It's a sorrowful situation. But Peter said, listen, if by your chaste conversation, your love for me in submitting to your husband, through that, they will see Christ in you. And certainly, if there's a wife that is in that situation, we all want to pray for that. We want to pray that God would do a great work. But there's not a time where Jesus himself, because of the adverse condition, says, I'm not going to do it. I don't understand. That's difficult. But I'm just telling you what Scripture says. It can be difficult. You're the second part of the Trinity. You're to portray Christ's submission to the Father. And with that, submission in the home stems from you. See, the love of the home stems from the father. The submission of the home stems from the wife. Your submission to the father ought to be shown and shining. Your submission to your husband, your children see your submission to your husband, they'll submit to you. You submit one to another, it goes down the line. Your children will see that. And your home will be a home that is godly in the picture of Christ. And that's exactly what God wants. And submission isn't a bowing down to. Submission is preferring one before the other. I submit to my wife. It's not that, well, she's got you. She's got you shackled. She rules the roost. No, she don't rule the roost. But I submit to her. I want to prefer her over me. I want to lift her up. I want to be her help too. Everything but laundry. We already talked about that this morning. We don't do laundry. But it takes time. It takes effort. It takes work in a marriage. It takes both the husband and wife to fulfill their role properly in order for this to work properly. You can't preach on one and not the other. You can't say, I can help you here, and hopefully all things will work. It takes every part in order for that home to be that picture of Christ, that the picture of the Trinity. And dads, we are to display that love. And there's two cycles in a home. There's a cycle of doom. There's a cycle of delight. The cycle of doom is like a cycle, well, she did this, therefore I'm not going to do that. Well, he did this to me, and so now I'm going to do this back to him. Well, she did that back to me. Well, I'm going to do this back to her. And it's just a cycle of doom. And they keep on going on and on and just get frustrated and anger. It's just a bad cycle. It's not a cycle to have in the home. She's not submissive to me, so I ain't going to love her. Well, if he ain't going to love me, I ain't going to submit to him. Well, if she ain't going to submit, I ain't going to love her twice. It's just a bad cycle. And there's a lot of homes that have that cycle. You have to stop that cycle, and somebody's got to stop it. Somebody's got to say, now hold on. I don't like this cycle of doom. Let's try the cycle of delight. That cycle of delight is my wife's in the bathroom in the morning. I haven't done this in a while. I'll probably do it tomorrow morning since I'm thinking about it. See how the Lord just convicts me? She'd be in the bathroom and listening to a podcast or some story, Christian story or something. And she's in there, and I'll bring her a cup of coffee because I love her. She didn't ask for it, but I bring it to her. And then she'll do something for me. And then I'll do something for her. Things I do for her, I do because I love her, and I do because I know she has long days at the sheriff's office, and she doesn't need to come home and do things. So I'll do the dishes. I'll get the dishes out of the dishwasher and put them where I think they go and find out later on that's not where they go. But I tried my best. I try to start supper. I try to do this. I get things, I want things to where she doesn't have to worry. I want things right for her. I want it to be a delight to come home to. She can relax. And she does the same. And she'll get me something. It's just a sweet cycle, a cycle of delight. You keep wanting to help and please the other. What a picture of home. That's submitting one to another, and that's loving one another. Husbands, we're to display that love. Wives, you're to be the experts on submission. Again, that doesn't leave out the husbands and being submissive or the children being submissive, but wives, you have been given the role and the title to be that displaying submissive spirit in the home. And I know it's not always easy, but that's God's plan. And God will help you. God will bless you. God will see to it that your Christ-like submission will be blessed beyond. It's for ladies, it's for wives and teenagers. We understand the role, we practice it. God will be glorified in our home. I really believe it. And so I hope, again, I can't give you every scenario. We've been blessed to have a home that, yeah, we went through some difficult times. Yes, we were in the cycle of doom many times, but we have been in the cycle of delight a lot longer. And we've learned. Even though we were saved when we got married, it does take time. It takes a learning curve. That's why on that thing, was it a learning curve? We had a learning curve. Had one that circled all of them. So, learning curve, bliss, out of this world, all this, and that's pretty well what the cycle is. It is bliss, the beginning, then there's a learning curve. And sometimes that learning curve and that so-so areas where a lot of couples just stay because they don't know their role. They don't know what God has for them to fulfill in that home in order to make it a godly home. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit yourselves or submit unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. You submit to the Lord, you be submitting to God or to your husband. Submit to the husband, you submit to the Lord.